Hello and welcome to the Maverick Radio Hour. This is a special edition we have with a couple of speakers and artists who have a show coming up here soon in the Kansas City area. We have Viola Woods.
Yes, hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
And Jill Mesmer.
Hey, hey.
Hello. Thanks for joining us today. I heard about the show you're having here soon, and it sounds fascinating. I saw the flyer; it looks great. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what's happening. I hear it's on the November 12th. There's 2 days. Is that right?
Yes, the first night is November 12th. That's the night that we're going to do prosthetic speaking, and also it's two one-woman skits. Myself, Viola Woods, and my friend here, Jill Mesmer. I think it's you're going to do like, what, 10 or 15 minutes and then
probably.
Q&A?
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
And then mine's is about an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that extemporaneous, or did you write these beforehand?
It's a story of my life.
Okay.
That's just the short part. That's just the short part.
Shortened into 1 hour.
Yes. I also have another play called The Battle of the Lord. That's the 2 hour play. But this is just the 1 hour.
Okay. All right. That's on Friday.
Yes.
Okay. And this is at, where's the Rock of Salvation Full Gospel Church?
Yes.
Okay. That's from 5:30 to 9:30 on November 12th. And that's at 4235 East 54th Terrace, Kansas City, Missouri. So definitely get up and get out there and check that out.
Yes, come see us.
Yes. And Jill, what's
yes.
Your 15 minutes, you say, about that?
About that, yeah. I wrote a book called Blinded by the White, and Viola asked if I would come and speak and do a skit based on one of the chapters. And so chapter 10 is talking about being liberal while white. Because I was, or am, or whatever. And the title of my skit is Karen Gets a Clue. Because I was the kind of liberal that, you know, I voted for everything that's going to help you. Go sort that out over there yourself. And turned a blind eye to everything else. So Karen gets a clue in this skit. And hopefully it will be motivating.
Oh, okay. Right on. So that's at, again, at Rock Salvation Full Gospel Church. Also, your name Mesmer. Can you explain where that came from? We talked about this a little bit earlier.
Well, yeah. It was always a debate in my family because my mother has an ancestor named William Herndon, who was Abraham Lincoln's law partner. So she thought her family was just really blue blood and would always make fun of my dad's family, Mesmer, because Franz Anton Mesmer was not really appreciated. You know, a prophet is not revered in their own country. And he was a contemporary of, Benjamin Franklin. And I just read recently that the Mozarts and the Mesmers were good friends, which I need to investigate. But yeah, he would be my five great uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And for those who don't know, what is Mesmer most famous for?
Well, animal magnetism was something that he was, you know, some people call him the father of new thought, which I don't think is absolutely correct. But yeah, he was hypnotizing people and dealing with things that were kind of new age before his time. And so I believe he had his license stripped, and Benjamin Franklin sat on that board. Yeah.
License to what?
To practice, yes.
To practice.
So my mother would always, your relatives were a quack. and hers were blue blood, you know.
And they were giving out licenses back then to practice medicine?
I guess.
Or
yeah.
Psychiatry?
Yeah.
Psychiatry,
yeah.
Really? Back in the 1700s?
I'm not, this was a board that ousted him from his livelihood. I don't know if it was an actual license that they issued, but yeah, he couldn't practice anymore.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it was one of those just disputes. Maybe people didn't like him. That sort of thing happened.
He still is, as far as I can tell.
Apparently, there's a dispute that perpetuated on for a couple thousand years that we still haven't, that can start from such simple beginnings as something like that.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, fascinating. Carry on that
crazy legacy.
Yeah.
Gladly.
Okay, so how about a bit of your history? How about start with you, Viola? Where are you from, and where do you? I suppose this would be. I don't want you to give too many spoilers about the speech that you're giving on the 12th, but could you give us a primer of where you're from and what got you into doing the sort of work that you're doing now?
Oh, Lord. I am from Kansas City, Missouri, born and raised here. I think I was really influenced by my mom and my grandmother. I do have her name, my grandmother's name, first name. And she was very religious. I believe she had her own church. She was an evangelist. And it's just a lot of things that, I mean, if you was to ask me if I was going to do this like 5 years ago, I'd be like, no, not me. I was always really quiet. Really quiet, and I guess you could say, I don't know. I'm still humble, but I was just really quiet. I wasn't very talkative. And I was always scared to get in front of people and speak. But now it's just, and I know it's got to be God, because I do so much. I'm a motivational speaker, I write poetry. The plays came about because I was going through much in my life. And this play, actually, the first one came out before The Lord Has a Purpose. The first one was The Battle as the Lord. And it was like a 30-minute play we had did. It was like a conference I had did at Southeast Library. And then originally from that, then this came about because I couldn't seem to keep staff with the Battle as the Lord's play. So I'm like, well, you know, I keep on want to have this going. So let me see if I can do a one-woman play.
Was that a big, you had a big production then?
I had,
yes. Okay.
Yes. And we traveled. We went to different cities. We did Kansas. We did a couple of schools. And I guess, you know, life settled in. People had to move on and everything. Well, I didn't want to stop. So I'm like, what can I do, Lord? And it started, he just gave me the gift to just start writing the one-woman skit about my life. And hopefully to empower other people. I don't want to say too much about it, but these are my original plays. The Battle is the Lord, and also The Lord Has a Purpose.
Okay. Which one do you like best?
The Lord Has a Purpose.
Okay. Some people might disagree with you on that. But will you prove them wrong?
You know I'm going to try.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to try.
All right. Sounds great. What was it? You said that you were quiet for a while there. Do you remember the time that you really started speaking out?
Oh, God.
What was the story on that?
Relationships, I guess. It's like I'm not quiet anymore. It's like, I don't know if you can relate or Jill can relate. When you see like red flags and you kind of like this person, you kind of ignore them and you still want to go for it.
Yeah, I know.
In fact,
I've seen a couple just recently.
That's what I was going through, and I kept on confusing love with controlling.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had this one fiance, glad I didn't marry him. I was at a Walmart and a friend of mine called me on the phone. We got to talk and he was like, get off the phone, Viola. Well, not to make a scene, I got off the phone.
Okay.
But then my friend was like, oh, girl, that's so cute. I'm like, for a minute, yes. For a minute, I believed it. And then I'm like, no, this is controlling. This is a controlling spirit.
Yeah.
And it really happens, like, when you're growing up, you know, because I had, like, a lot of abusive episodes in my life when I was growing up, in school, in church, and I just think that it just needed to be heard. I think it just needed to come out. And when I finally came out with the other play, The Battle is the Lord, my sister, my other sister was like, oh, girl, that's just a good play. You was even crying. I said, well, I really lived it. She's like, oh, what?
Wow.
So I've done it many of times, and I believe when I have done it, some people have said I have really impact their soul, that it's just something that they would never forget, and it changed them, and that really inspired me a lot. So I said I want to keep going with it.
That's beautiful. I'm glad you're doing it.
Thank you.
Wow.
It seems to me that in a lot of ways, the abuse that people grew up with is a lot more common than is or has been, that is to say, given the present zeitgeist, I guess you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I've noticed in my time in poetry as well. I hosted a fair amount of shows, several dozen of them over the last decade. And one of the main things that I tried to, and others as well, that I learned about this, is getting people up on the stage to really, you know, they pour out their souls. Mm-hmm. They really do. And lots of times they would go out there and they say, okay, well, this happened to me. It was terrible. And, you know, I wish it didn't. And everybody has their own stories about this. But one of the things that's so beautiful about that is they were willing to speak that up on stage, and then they found people who could relate.
Yes.
And they knew that they weren't going to be looked down on for bringing this up. And I've seen on a larger scale level that there are hidden cycles of abuse similar to this that are often ignored on our conscious daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
That fortunately, that sort of thing is coming out, and I think we have you to thank, and folks like you.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Getting out there, speaking on it.
Yep. Thank you.
This reminds me a bit of a story I heard a while back, and you've probably heard this before, the elephant on the chain story.
No.
You heard this? Well, in India, when they try to train elephants, they start a baby elephant on a chain, and they have it have 1 foot, you know, clasped on the to its foot, and they hook it up there. And when they need it to walk around or do elsewise, they let it go and they put it back again when they want it to stay there. But as it grows older, it learns that it can't. At first, it can't break the chain to get away, because when it's a baby elephant, it's still, you know, chain's too strong for that. But as it grows older, eventually it gets to such a size where it could, if it wanted to, just bust that chain in a second and walk right off and do whatever it would like. But the conditioning that comes with that chain has stuck inside the elephant for such a long time that it doesn't break the chain and it doesn't leave by that point.
Wow, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
It's quite indicative of ways that people can be controlled, especially from an early age.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. Jill, is there
your
monologue? What are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to be talking about some ideas that I have had, or I have heard others speak as liberals, that don't understand that what they're doing is just as bad as the people that they are opposed to. For instance, I had some friends comment after George Floyd was killed on my birthday, of all things, that the black community didn't need to be elevating him. They needed to look at his criminal record and his abuse of women, and that we as women needed to, you know, stand against this, and he couldn't be memorialized and this kind of stuff. A short time ago, I was right with them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just not realizing that your white opinion is not needed on everything. First and foremost. And, you know, you haven't lived that in that culture. You really don't have any right to weigh in on how they grieve. We think we can weigh in on everything, how they protest, how they, and I don't even like the word they. But
yeah, I don't think that's appropriate.
No,
and,
no.
I'm of the opinion that I generally don't see color, and I try to avoid that. That is to say, but rather follow Martin Luther King's advice to judge people on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's still a clearly a lot of inequalities on that front, and a lot of abuse that.
Right.
That is racially defined, you might say.
And I, like Viola, feel like I was kind of called to do what I'm doing, which is trying to advocate for those whose voices are not being heard. Mm-hmm. And it really does feel like a calling, because it was such an organic way that I kind of woke up to the levels of racism. I just thought the Hatfields and McCoys couldn't get along, you know. I was not even aware of the structure that's in place to support it. And that's what I was telling them to fix, because I had already voted the correct way. Mm. Yeah. Wow. And I had deluded myself into thinking that was all I needed to do.
There's more than that.
Yeah.
Voting takes place at best once a year for local, state.
And those are the people that are going to affect your life the most, is your local, and those are the mm-hmm. the elections that are frequented the least.
Yeah. I think that is changing, though, these days.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yes. It seems that it is. I'm curious, the way you describe this reminds me of an old song. Did you ever hear of an artist called Phil Oakes?
Humabar.
No? Okay. He was around and a contemporary in the late 60s and early 70s. And you might call him like a little bit more of a radical Bob Dylan of sorts.
Oh, okay.
And he has a song, and I would encourage you to check it out. I think it'd be right up your alley.
Look at me, dude.
Love Me, I'm a Liberal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's satire of some
good.
Of the highest order.
Oh, good. Okay.
Also concerning George Floyd as well, one of the things I found, and also the tendency to look into assassinate someone's character when that isn't necessarily relevant to the crime. That is clearly associated with. Yeah. Whether he was black or white or Filipino or whatever.
Yep.
As the video showed at the time, and I was quite upset about it myself, it appeared that he was murdered in broad daylight.
Sure was.
And
modern day lynching.
Yeah.
That's right.
Unfortunately. And actually, interesting story about that. I happened to be in Washington, D.C. at that time.
Ooh.
And I was protesting the lockdown for about 2 months in Lafayette Park twice a week. And the last day I was there was May 29th. It was a Friday. And that was the first day in D.C. of the George Floyd riots. And in front of the White House, what normally had been in Lafayette Park, you'd have some of the police on their bikes and people jogging through and some of the street folks as well, just kind of hanging around. And it's, for all those months, it was quite, I guess, kind of idyllic. It was peaceful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, off to the east came about 400 people raging all at once toward the park.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and once they got there, started running around spraying graffiti on the buildings, and then forming up a line, and then they started yelling at the police. And the police they stayed back behind the fence. And for the most part, people stayed behind the fence and basically just just them just yelling at the cops for 2-3 hours straight. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, only one person got arrested through this. And after 2-3 hours, they went down to the Capitol building and dispersed for the most part. But I was right there yelling with them. There's probably a few social media videos of me with my sign, and I was holding a piece of slate that I would carve on the park bench. But my opinion on that one, when it comes particularly to police violence, has to do with the unconstitutional laws that police have been asked to enforce upon people. And so, ultimately, I don't tend to blame the law enforcement, although in this case, you still have people who abuse their authority in those positions, mm-hmm. as Chauvin did. But the larger scale societal issue seems to me the issuance of unconstitutional law that thereby impels the law enforcement to basically just treat the people worse and abuse them in ways. And it would appear to me that there's a bit of a reckoning on that front as well these days. So it's good to see. Hopefully it'll all work out well.
Well, the slow roll of gradualism is over.
We
did that in the 60s, and then we slid back. So, it's got to be forge ahead with momentum.
Yep, seems so. Things are coming to a head of sorts, and then you can keep going for a while.
It is.
All right. And then, so the event is on Friday, November 12th. You guys are doing this show.
Yes.
And what's happening on the day after? You said there's another.
Well, this is part one. I was trying to get it all together, but it didn't happen that way. So, like, part one at a different location, and part two is at a different location. And that one is basically all day event. We have speakers, of course. We have a fashion show. We have an inspirational concert at the end. Then we have vendors. I have an etiquette class, like a budgeting class tutorial. It's just everything just in one day, and I wanted it like that because I wanted people to be able to come and get a full day of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted it to try to be like it is supposed to be an empowerment show, but I'm thinking that they will get a lot out of this. Not, and everybody's like, well, you're not charging enough. It's not about the money. I want people to be able to afford it. To people that they, want to tell other friends and come, and this is a great day of something that's really empowerment, to just where they could just clear their mind and just have fun. That it's okay if you're different from other people. And this is something that I have, what this is based upon, VIMPS is based upon verbal, emotionally, mentally, physical, and sexual abuse. And I am a survivor of all that. And when I was going through this, only God and my music kept me going, plus my children. Now my children are grown, but God and my music and acting, sitting around just moping around a lot of stuff and just letting this take over your mind. I would just write, listen to my music, write poetry, just get out and start speaking. I was so scared to speak in public. Now it's like, it just flows. So I want people to just come. Hey, let's enjoy this day to free your mind. Get the spirit of God in your body. And just free your soul. With just nothing but just laughter, fun, just letting yourself feel carefree.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
Staycation.
Yes.
I'm curious, I don't know if you have one with you, but could you give us a poem?
I don't have a poem with me.
Ah, dang it, I should have
brought it. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to get stuff, but I mean, I don't even have my CD with me, but I'm also a songwriter. I'm a songwriter, motivational speaker. I also reenact of history, empowerment women, like I did a reenactment about maybe 3 weeks ago of Ida B. Wells, and how she had a chance to march, but she had got a phone call that she could march, but she had to march in the back. So not only her, but other 60 Afro-American women had to march in the back to keep the Southern people from getting upset. Well, she did it, but she had something to say before that happened, and I played that part. I was very, very excited to do this.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm everywhere.
Well, I'm glad I'm following you, or I mean, you're following me, because the other way around, I think I would probably back out by now. You'd be a tough act to follow.
No, you're fine.
Wow.
You're
fine.
Well, where can they find you online? Is there do you have an online presence, like on Facebook, Twitter?
I have email address. I don't have Twitter, but I do have.
Probably smart. Yeah.
Yeah, I have one. I don't know how to use.
I don't have that, but I do have a Facebook page, and it goes to Messenger, of course. I just have Facebook right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it something you want people to reach you on, or is it?
Yeah, they can reach me on there, but the email is probably better. Yeah,
okay.
They could. I mean, if they want one of my CDs, it's not downloaded or anything like that. They have to purchase it for me or whatever.
Okay. And that's it here?
No, it's in my bio, but I'm going to have CDs down there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have CDs there.
Is it okay for me to publish that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Actually, speaking of that bio,
That's just half the stuff. That's not even all of it.
Look at you.
More,
this is my reading program. I have a reading program.
Right.
My mind's everywhere.
Right.
I love reading, and I read to the youth and also seniors.
Okay.
Are your days 26 hours long?
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you do when you're not doing all that stuff?
How do you relax?
Thinking about something else to do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that was in 2014, The Battle is the Lord.
Yes.
That was the first play that you had.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Okay.
I did it, the last time we did it at just off Broadway, I believe in 17.
Okay.
I like that venue.
The pin?
The just off Broadway venue.
Oh yeah. She likes this pin.
Is it off Broadway and there's one in Kansas City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right off of 36.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an awesome venue.
Wow.
Yeah, real nice.
I need to check that out. I need to spend more time in Kansas
City. Where do you
wander around? Well, I live out in the country.
Oh.
Out west a ways. But I'm trying to move here to Kansas City. Trying to get into town. Looks
really?
Like, I'm trying to make it happen here shortly.
Alright.
Yeah.
The last time I moved somewhere, they shut down the world.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. Yes. Well, I arrived in D.C. March 16th, 2020.
Oh, wow.
Lord.
Well, get it moved so we can shut down again.
Or some such thing. Who knows what it's going to be this time?
Yeah, maybe it'll be something really cool.
Yeah, maybe the aliens will finally win.
Now you're speaking the language. I'm serious. When people go on a trip, I say, I'm going to call AAA for you. Aliens, ancestors, and angels.
Oh, yeah.
I figure I got them covered.
You sure?
Six ways from Sunday.
Right.
Sure.
Do you have personal experience with or is this how do you say it? A reason theory?
Well, angels, yes, I've had experiences all along the way. Ancestors, I was turned on to in my journey awaking up to racism, because a friend of mine was talking about ancestors, and my first reaction was, they weren't so nice when they were here. Why would I want to continue talking to them? And I got real experience in connection to ancestors, which was very cool. Aliens, yes, I have seen things that Others haven't.
Okay. What's the last thing you saw?
Just a very cylinder-shaped light that could just go away in a nanosecond.
Oh, just shot away through the sky?
Mm-hmm. Shot away from my view. Boom.
Was this at night?
Mm-hmm.
How high in the sky was it?
Oh, God, I don't know. It was not really, really low and hovering. It was, oh, God, I don't know.
It was up there a ways?
No, but it wasn't like, you know, Close Encounters of the kind where they're, you know, the light from the ship is not, yeah.
Right.
No, it was in the sky, but it was unmistakably something that I had never, ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, can't explain it.
No.
You've seen anything like that before or since?
Well, that was just in September.
Oh, really? Just last month?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Right on the way home from Colorado.
Yeah.
And no, I was not.
Did you see anything like that? Strange things in the sky?
Not recently.
Not recently?
No, not recently.
So there was a while back that you saw something?
Yeah, that was like a long time ago. I haven't seen anything recently.
Can you tell us a story?
I don't know. It was kind of like what she's saying, but I mean, I was way young. I'd seen it. With the first one I seen, I found that it was like one of those. I don't know if it was a falling star or a meteorite or whatever, but I know that fell. And I did see something a while back. Might have been about, I don't know, 6, maybe 7 years ago, maybe. And it was in the sky, and it's kind of just sat there for a minute. Well, it didn't look like a plane, you know. If it had a different shape, and it was not a helicopter, and it just sat there for a minute. And I'm steady looking. And it was just lights. I seen lights, like, going around, mm-hmm. like, boop, 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 like that. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it just took off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in one direction, just
mm-hmm.
jet propulsion.
Pretty wild. Well, they are coming up with some new technologies mm-hmm. on propulsion systems.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most interesting ones that I've seen lately, and I watch the skies on a regular basis, and much of my adult life I've been quite the insomniac. So this most recent one, normally you'd see planes just flying across the sky, and you hear them, when you hear the sound of one of them, like a big one at, you know, low enough that you can hear it. It starts as a low rumble, and then it comes, gets a little louder, louder, louder as it goes over you, and then and then that low rumble tapers off as it leaves again.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, change in this was planes showed up, but you didn't hear the low rumble at first. It was a sound of large. It was like this. And then it was like, whew, then it was a regular rumble as it's going across the sky. This most recent unidentified flying object that I saw.
How recent was it?
This was about 2-3 weeks ago.
Ancient astronaut theorist claim.
Yeah. Well, this is just an observation in this case.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it did that. The plane. That's when the plane appeared. It was overcast sky. And then it was there. And then it flew across like a regular plane after that. This would actually be consistent with a plane coming out of low Earth orbit and then just flying at a regular pace. So that might be something that this is attributable to.
We were actually going to go alien watching tonight.
Okay.
Honestly, yes, we were, but we didn't know if we'd be able to see at a farm out south of town.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I've watched some documentaries and whatnot, and they theorized that they were trying to get a hold of our governments at first, and since they have not cooperated, they are targeting individual citizens to show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we wanted to test that theory. We wanted to see if that would
Yeah,
why not?
Well, possibility.
Yeah.
It is.
Wow.
I find the ancient astronaut theory as well quite fascinating. Mm-hmm. And some of it comes from some of the theories that Zachariah Sitchin had, and he was the one that brought up some of this stuff that just seems like nonsense, but particularly the concept that a lot of Christianity, also the old Abrahamic religions, as well as the old mythologies, there's not necessarily anything inconsistent about all of them, that in fact looking at it the right way, this is all evidence for a theory of a greater totality that takes all of this into account. I find that quite fascinating.
Same.
And that whether it's aliens or angels, to us as terrestrial beings, this can be quite interchangeable. And certainly, you know, thousands of years ago, mm-hmm. when we had much less scientific knowledge. And the Sumerian stories speak of this to a fair extent, that they came from the sky and came down, and mm-hmm. they were very strong and very powerful beings, and mm-hmm. whether they're angels or in the Greek pantheon gods, that they gave mm-hmm. them that name, or in our case, look at technologically advanced aliens. In some cases, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily... You're splitting hairs by that point.
Pick and fly poop out of pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so that's on the 12th and 13th. Is there anything else y'all would like to say to the folks out there?
Well, I would just like to just have a good time and just... people just come out and just enjoy their self, and hopefully that they will get empowered from this event. Don't leave the same way that you came, is all I got to say. Just come and have fun.
Yeah.
Get some knowledge. Yeah. Get some meditation. Just have some fun. You know, just come and fellowship mm-hmm. with us.
Yeah. All right, on. Well. Go do it.
But she said.
Yeah. There you go. And you'll come back a stronger person.
That's right.
I think that's the message that I really like that you bring in here as well.
Oh, thank
and
you.
When I saw this, self-empowerment is absolutely vital.
Yes.
It seems to me that even if you had Superman or Jesus or anyone else that could come down and save the world from its problems, it doesn't work unless people are willing to help themselves.
That's right.
And willing to
that is true.
Be the change.
Yeah,
that's right.
There we go.
That is so true.
All right. On that note, I think we'll leave it here then. And go out and be the change. And I want to say thank you to Viola Woods and Jill Mesmer for joining us today. And I hope the show goes excellent. People go out and check it out.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Remember, your haters will make you greater.
Yeah, there we go. In a lot of cases, the haters, I look at it, it's just free advertisement.
True.
And with that, I'll leave it with the final call. This is GT Maverick wishing you peace, love, harmony, justice, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.